as I look over these sea of faces. When I got out of treatment from Turning Point, I was there for about 6 weeks, and I detoxed for about a week. I've been going to meetings for about a week, and I see these old timers, you know, and they go to the meeting, and then they were gone. I'm like, now what do I do? You know, how in the world am I going to stay sober until the next meeting? And I'll never forget, I was in a fog for a long time because I was on a lot of psychiatric meds that I was gradually weaned off, and I'm not on them today because alcohol made me crazy. But I thought it was Monday, but little did I know it was Thursday. I mean, I didn't even know what day it was. I thought I was going to an NA meeting. I stumbled in the young people's group, and we were maxed out that night. There was like 30 people, and there's still a few people in this room were there, you know, at the first of the year in 2005. My sobriety date is, by the way, is November 19, 2004. And I have over 5 years. But, you know, I got into that meeting and I was in such a fog. But it's amazing. I want to thank Kitty for allowing me to celebrate. She was a real big factor in why I kept coming back. It was so true. I mean, I was just so spaced out, dude. I didn't take in anything in the meeting, you know. I just stared, just slobber all over myself. But kept me coming back. But you know, I came to, and this is my home group, the young people's group. I came to this meeting. And I got a sponsor, Eric, who's now moved to Washington, D.C. And there were only about four of us. When I got my year of sobriety, there were only about four of us that were members of that group that had over a year. And, of course, Bill had gobs of time, wherever he is. But anyway, but we had house meetings where we all made dinner. And we even had dinner. My brother and my sister-in-law are here tonight, which I'm very grateful that I stayed over a year in my brother's house. I said, hey, Stan, you mind if I stay a couple weeks? And like over a year later, I'm still in his house. And but anyway, you know, I'm here to give thanks. It's amazing. I was just so out of it, so selfish, so centered, just like the book says. And now I can see the world outside of me, and I found peace of mind through my God among my understanding. I want to thank my sponsor, Bill, you know, who I still call every day. I've got six sponsees that I sponsor, and I got a couple of grandkids. And you know, it's amazing because I was an individual that isolated for many, many years and didn't have a friend in the world. And if I've forgotten anybody to thank, there's so many people to thank. But anyway, the person that I'm having speak for me tonight is played a huge, huge part in the start of my recovery. And he was my therapist at Turning Point. And I can remember he would ask me a simple question. And I'd say, oh yeah, I went off to Morocco and I got abducted by drug smugglers, you know, after I got divorced. And then I went to the Amazon and I hired an Indian guide. And, you know, like 20 minutes later, I would, you know, I'd be done and not even answer his question. I mean, that's just how bad I was. But, you know, I hemmed and hollered, and he gave me a lot of direction. You know, I wanted to go to wedding reception. No, you can't do that. You don't have enough time. You need to go to, you know, you need to work steps, go to meetings, call your sponsor. There's so many things that came up, and I'm so glad and to have him in my life. My father died 6 weeks prior to my recovery, and Mike is like a father to me. He's, you know, he's like the great friend that I always wanted to have, and he's, you know, part of my network, and I love you, Mike. Come on up, man.
Most about Turning Point since I retired is going in the morning and seeing that light blinking. Because most mornings that would be a gratitude talk. Someone just calling to say, Mike, this is so and so. Hope you remember me. Picked up 5 years last night. I get that feeling of purpose when I arrive, as I do anybody that I was privileged to work with over Turning Point. would see Brad Adenoff that year. He called and checked in. I could tell he was doing what he needed to do. He gives me way too much credit. I didn't do anything. Just get him pointed in the right direction. He did all the work. You do it. Since I retired, we've stayed in touch. I enjoy his company. I like to hear about what's going on. When he asked me to do this night, I was more than happy to. I have a very unremarkable life story. You know, I had a childhood I wouldn't wish on anybody. It wasn't anybody's fault. That's what happened. My childhood memories are loneliness, fear, and anger. I learned at an early age that alcohol helped me deal with those things. One day I crawled out on the other side, didn't have to depend on anybody to look after me, and I considered myself a survivor. You didn't need anybody. This can work against you sometimes. Drinking was a symptom of a bigger problem. And that's what I needed to do. I thought, like most alcoholics, well, if I quit drinking, I'll be all right. And I would quit drinking once or twice a year for 3 or 4 weeks, but it was all right, because I'd always start drinking. I finally discovered the greatest treatment plan ever written for an alcoholic. If you're not familiar with it, there's a copy of the manual. I wrote a lot of pretty good treatment plans when I was a therapist, but I never wrote any of them back then. That's what I like about Rod. He followed his treatment plan, and he still follows. Just like I think I did. Another good thing is you don't need a therapist to work with. You need a sponsor, and they're all over the place. Some really good ones. What I did want to share with you in detail tonight. A little piece of my early recovery that, I don't know, might make sense to you, might help someone. It also will address a conversation I had with Rod when we were having lunch about 3 or 4 months ago. We had met for lunch, and I was eating, he was talking. And, he said, you know, Mike, he said, I'm really grateful to be sober. That's special. And he's waiting for the Me Too return, but he doesn't get it. So he said, aren't you grateful that you're sober? And I went, wow. It's the other way around. Sober because I'm grateful. And he said, well, what's the difference? And I never really answered his question. But I want to tell you tonight something happened to me, and I think that it will. I was about 65 days sober. And I was walking very heavy. Because I hadn't had a drink in 65 days, I thought I was in recovery, which I wasn't. I wasn't anywhere near recovery. I had a sponsor, a great guy, named Glenn. I'd known Glenn for 10 years. The first 2 years I knew him, we sat side by side 5 nights a week drinking in the bar. I watched him. It was his family, it was his business, put a big dent in his health, go away. I saw him get in the program, rebuild his life. I'd see him around town, and I'd see him once or twice a year when I went for my annual I'm going to quit drinking deal, where I would go to meetings for 3 or 4 weeks, and I had my white chip collection. And I'd run into him, and he would say to me, you know, Mike, if you ever really get serious about this, give me a call. I'd like to work. July of 87, I was in a hospital in St. Anthony's in St. Pete for 11 days, and I thought maybe I should get serious about recovery. And I called him, came over, got me a place to stay, half a house, got me a job, was working. That particular afternoon, we had spent 2 hours just me being a moron. Whining, bitching, complaining, doing what I do. He said, Mike. He said, listen, you need to get off this negative addict, looking at the downside of it. He said, recovery is tough. We've got to get something positive to hang on to. And we can do that if we find things to be grateful for. He said, you've got to learn to get some gratitude. And I said, what in the hell do I have to be grateful for? I've lost everything. I live in this crummy halfway house. I got this paper route you got me doing. And all I do is go to meetings. I said, I have nothing to be grateful for. I want you to make a gratitude list. I said, no, didn't we do this last month? He said, yes, but you blew it up. You blew the whole sign. I said, what do you mean? He said, you put down all the things that didn't happen to you. I'm grateful I'm not dead. I'm grateful I'm not in jail. He said, I want you to put down things that you're grateful for. I put down something that I said. Yeah, you put down your grateful the Bucks have been important. He said, no. He said, I want you to get serious about this and put down things that you're truly grateful for. I said, well, give me a hand. He said, no. He said, you've got to do this for yourself. He said, you have powerful forces in your life working for you. You need to be grateful for. They've always been there, right? He said, you've never been able to sing. He said, the way you're going, with all this negativity, with all this being down, with all your complaining, you are making your life so miserable that pretty soon you're going to give yourself permission to drink. He said, I suggest you take this gratitude list seriously. Get to work. He sufficiently scared the hell. I didn't want to relapse. You know, and I'm sitting there in the nightmare room. I got this blank piece of paper in front of me. Trying to come up with something. You know, scared and frustrated and just desperation, you know, I just said, yell out, God, higher power, somebody! Help me figure out something to write on this piece of paper. And that outburst, made me feel a little better. Getting that out of my system. And finally, in this bourbon-soaked brain of mine, a small light flickered on. And I wrote down, tonight I am grateful that I have someone I can pray for. Someone I can ask for help. I think I got it. I thought about my idea of prayer prior to that. It had been, please don't let something happen. Please don't let me get fired. Please don't let me lose my driver's license. Please don't let Susan find out where I really was last week. Yeah. So I said, for the first time in my life, prayer of gratitude. I said, I guess someone's there, because I feel better. thought about my family and neighbors, and my friends, and my coworkers, my employers, all the way back to my swimming coach in college, all the people who reached out to me. Now I push them away because I didn't need them. I'm a survivor. I don't need you in my life. Get the hell away from me on that. I've waited me along. I thought how badly I've treated those people. And how many of them are still there hanging around. You know? So I said another prayer of gratitude for all those folks that were trying to help me that I will never let them go. I looked at that word so. I wrote down, tonight I'm grateful to be sober so I can finally figure out something to write on this piece of paper. And I laughed at myself. And I thought about all the times I would say to Susan, you know, I need a couple of drinks. I'm working on this thing for work. Or I got to write a speech or something. And the alcohol helps me think. Helps me be creative. Yeah, right. I thought, Mikey, dumbass. Tonight you were able to figure something out because you weren't drinking. So I had my lunch. I had three things. And I called my sponsor. And that might have been the first time I called because I really wanted to call instead of because I was supposed to. And I read them the list. And he said, thank you, Mike. He said, I'm going to sleep better tonight, knowing that there's hope for me. Well, I never found out how he slept, but man, I want to tell you, I sure did. For the first time in a long time. For the first time in a long time, I felt like maybe everything will be okay. Feeling okay is all right tonight. I fell asleep with that word of hope in my head. I firmly believe.